This is a Power 98.7 podcast. Now we're talking. Subscribe to Power 98.7 podcasts in iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. There's more on power987.co.za.
All right, the time now is 18:49 on Power Business with me, Nosipho Radebe, standing in for Noluthando Mthunti Mlambo. We go to this story now. Joburg residents spend 47% more than the average South African, while Cape Townians spend 38% more and Durbanites 13% more, according to Discovery's Spend Trend 24 survey. The study, which analyzed credit card data, showed that groceries, retail, travel and fuel were South Africa's biggest spend categories, with retail shopping being the main category for high network clients. Now, the survey also showed that Joburg spends more than other provinces on eating out. However, spending increased most in Cape Town, moving up 6% year on year on the back of increased spending on groceries, eating out and travel. Joburg did take top prize as foodies of the nation for spending in the eating out category. Globally, persistent high inflation has made consumers more cautious with their spending, driving them to choose bank cards out over cash, just for access to credit, but to exploit value from loyalty programs. A 2023 Euromonitor study shows that 86% of South Africans expressed concern last year about the increasing cost of goods, with 37% intentionally buying in bulk or deliberately shopping at stores with loyalty programs. Now, for this conversation, we joined now by Jürgen Erkman, wealth manager at Consults by Momentum. Good evening, Jürgen.
Good evening, Nosipho. Great to be on the show, and good evening to your listeners as well.
All right. Thank you so much. So, Jürgen, why do you think Joburgers are splurging more, especially when compared to other provinces?
So it's a great question. And I was thinking about it, and something was glaringly obvious to me, Nosipho. I was thinking about Cape Town and Durban, and then I realized that in Johannesburg, we don't have a beach. So what I feel is that the average Johannesburger has to entertain themselves, I would say, more than what people from Cape Town and Durban have to. You know, we need to get out there. I mean, I've got younger kids at home, and I know that on the weekend, you know, they don't want to be at home. We've always got to be out somewhere, and it's not as easy as popping down to the beach. We've always got to be out either at a restaurant or at the shopping centers, mm-hmm. or, you know, at the various entertainment areas. I mean, there's bike parks, and there's so many options that I suppose that we have in Johannesburg. I mean, even though we're a small province, we're definitely the biggest city in terms of numbers, as well as then also GDP that comes through, comes through the province. So I think that because we earn a bit more, we tend to spend a bit more. And that's what you find with the average Johannesburger.
Jürgen, I think I was also kind of on the same wavelength as you. But, you know, with all this spending, what are Joburgers doing well when it comes to their finances, and where do they struggle when it comes to their money management?
So I think if I can start with where do we struggle, is that, and I think it's not just Johannesburgers, I think this is pretty much goes for all of South Africans, is that traditionally we're not big savers. Sorry, excuse me. We don't save a lot of money. What we do is we tend to spend a lot of money. And the problem with that is that life happens in between, right? Is that there's always that unforeseen expense, whether it's a medical expense or something on the vehicle or something at home or for a family member. So we unfortunately don't make provision for that. And then what happens is that we automatically then go to lines of credit that are available to us. You know, we use our credit cards. We've got a couple of loans or a few credit cards. I don't think there's just one in a household. You know, loans, overdraft facilities, and then those debts are quite high in terms of the interest payments. You know, we're sitting in a high interest rate environment, so the cost of debt is expensive. And unfortunately, you know, we always tap into that, and it's kind of a lifestyle thing. You know, is that once you're used to and comfortable a certain kind of lifestyle, you want to maintain that. You know, we're very sticky to walk away from the comforts of life that we have. So I think, unfortunately, as Johannesburgers, that we use a bit too much credit and debt instead of starting from a young age to save. But I think also from reading the study, I think where we do quite well is that we are starting to make use more and more of these incentivized type of programs. I mean, if you look at Discovery and Vitality, if you look at Momentum, Multiply, you know, there's these various wellness programs which incentivize us to kind of live healthier lifestyles. And we always want a good discount, you know, if we can get a nice travel discount because we're on a higher status with one of these companies, or we can get some discounts by shopping, you know, at certain chain stores or at, you know, purchasing certain types of foods, you know, we'll automatically go for that. So I think, you know, incentivizing is a clever way that companies market themselves. Mm-hmm. And I think as Johannesburgers, we're looking for that good deal, you know, and we can find that.
Yeah, so talk to us about those loyalty programs as you've just touched on, and really where they fit in with all of this.
So basically, if you look at, and if I can specifically talk around insurance companies, is that their main aim and their goal is to pay claims, right? Whether it's a medical aid claim, whether it's a car accident claim, whether it's a life insurance or a disability claim, that's what they do, right? So how do they then make those risk pools healthier? Because ultimately, if they are not paying out as many claims, that's healthier for the risk pool, and ultimately it makes them more competitive. So they can oftentimes forward those profits, if I could put it that way, or those lower claims experiences onto the end consumers, which would then kind of drive up their market share. So what they do is they try and incentivize health, you know, by living healthier, you know, exercising, doing some gym, eating healthier foods, making sure that your health checks are done so that you understand, you know, what your health is on a year-on-year basis. And what that does is it gives them more information so that they can obviously build their products in a better way. So it's very clever, you know, and again, they've tapped into a market where they know that if they offer discounts for various things that that South Africans and Johannesburgers are looking for in terms of traveling and retail spending, because as you said, I mean, two-thirds of our spend is going towards fuel, retail, travel, and then obviously groceries plus eating out and takeaways, you know. So if they can kind of target those areas and incentivize it for us, but also then helping us along our wellness or our health journey, it's kind of a two-way street. You know, we're getting the benefit up front now because we're getting discounts, and they're getting the benefit down the line because we are living healthier lifestyles and are less likely to claim.
And then now, Jürgen, general financial advice tailored to a province of spenders?
So what I would say there is that the power of compound interest, I think, is often underestimated. And it's quite a simple example that I can give you. And I think before I do that is to explain that or unpack it a little bit better is that the earlier you start saving and investing money, and whether that be for your retirement, whether it be for a car that you want to buy, whether it be for your first home or some form of emergency or medical fund, is that the sooner you start in life, you know, the better it is, the better off you will be as time goes on. So if I can explain that. So if you look at two individuals, let's say the one person is 20 years old and the other person is 30 years old, and they both start investing money, let's call it 1,000 Rand a month. And the person that's 20 years old, if they consistently invest money every single month from 20 to 30, so that's 10 years worth of investing, and then they stop investing, so they leave their money invested in the market. And you compare that to the other person who's at 30 years old and starts investing and now invests every single month, but up until the age of 55, which is, let's say, legal retirement age in South Africa. So now that person is investing for 25 years. Who's going to have more money at the end of the day? And funny enough, it's actually the person who was 20 years old and invested from 20 to 30 and left their money invested, compared to somebody Then left their money invested to age 55 compared to that 30-year-old who invested all the way up until 55 years old. And that's just that power, the power of compound interest is to start investing as soon as you can and build up some reserves. And then, you know, you automatically, I think, set yourself up for a much more, you set yourself up for financial freedom by doing that. So I think that's the best advice that I could give someone.
All right, perfect. I think we can leave it on that positive note then, Jürgen. Thank you so much for joining us this evening.
Lovely to chat to you, Nasipo. Thank you so much.
All right, that was Jürgen Ekman, Wealth Manager at Consults by Momentum, talking to us about spending habits across the major cities.
You've been listening to a Power 98.7 podcast. For more podcasts, visit power987.co.za or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.